I'm going to say something that's going to sound really crazy here. The Dodgers have won the National League 2 years in a row, have gone all the way to the World Series. Ultimate heartbreak at the end of that. But this year's team is the best of the 3 years, which is incredible when you consider they've been to the World Series 2 years in a row.
And they're like winning these things in the most fun ways. It's always like the last inning. It's so like walk-off home runs.
Speaking of the way they win, Dave went to the game.
Yeah, I was at the game yesterday.
Oh, it must have just gone
so
off.
Cool. That great ending.
Walk-off double or whatever it was, right?
It was awesome. So bottom of the eighth, you know, Dodgers are down three, and I tell my buddy, man, they're going to come back. It doesn't even faze me. They score two runs. Inning over, okay, bummed. Top of the ninth, he goes, I have to go. I was like, you know what? It's hot. I'm sweaty.
Oh, you're selling out your friend.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, hold on.
Yeah.
So you're saying you left before the bottom of the ninth?
Yeah, I had to go because it was.
And
it was,
also blaming it on your friend.
It was 10-9.
Yeah.
It was Padres, a great game. And you're the one who said, don't worry about it. They're going to come back.
Yeah. And it was hot, though. I don't know if you guys know this, but it was really hot
it was very
yesterday.
Hot, yes.
So we're all sweaty and stuff. I was like, you know what? I was getting a little tired.
At that point, did everyone leave or were there
still
fans?
There was a lot of people leaving.
Were there still fans there, though?
Yeah, all in the shade, which I wasn't.
I do like the idea that you withstood the game for 8.5 innings, yeah. And then right before the end, you're like, you know what? Too hot. Gotta go.
The last thing you want to do is, sit in the car in the hot.
Your friend my mom?
No, I was at Mama Muggs.
Dave is Mama Muggs.
Dave, did you tune into the Euphoria season finale last night and decide with 2 minutes left, you know what? I'm tired.
You know what? It's too hot here.
Too hot? You guys don't understand. It was hot.
No, but this was their ninth walk-off win of the season, by the way.
Yeah, it was great.
He also called it.
I heard about it.
But Dave.
But you weren't there.
You could have been there.
If your friend says he has to go, you go, there's half an inning left.
Yeah, but, you know, he had to go and it was hot.
No, he didn't have to go and it was hot. Stop throwing your friend in. It was hot. That's
I didn't
want to
be there alone because I was sweating there just like, I got to go.
Oh, you could have driven home alone?
I did drive home alone.
You guys. He was your ride?
Well, we were separate. I met him there, yeah.
Oh my God.
Come on.
So much
worse. I don't know if you know this, but it was hot.
Dave.
The king of Mexico is bullshit.
I thought you were saying he had to go and he was your ride.
He was saying, he was insinuating that.
Well, no, I just said he left and I didn't want to be there alone. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Okay, what if?
Bean, it was hot. Have you not listened?
Yeah, dude.
Right, but you would have been there alone with like 35,000 other people who were still there, though.
Yeah, but it was hot.
Thank you, King of Mexico, for the decline of Western civilization. You idiot.
Get out, Dave. You disgust me.
All right. Go Dodgers.
Oh, go Dodgers.
No, you're not even allowed to say that.
You know what? Just say go Dodgers. Don't finish it. Get really close to the end.
Just singular. Just Dodger.
Yeah. Dodger.
Can't say...
All right. Desus and Mero from Showtime's show is
going
to be joining us. Well, it's also called Desus and Mero. They're going to be joining us on the program later on today. First, though, I don't know that we've done this topic before, but I am so looking forward to it because when you're running about Southern California, you oftentimes will see a famous person. And sometimes there will be an interaction with that famous person. And sometimes the famous person will yell at you. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to be looking for here is a famous person was irritated with you at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe they're next to you in a restaurant. Maybe you're checking them out at you're working at a register at a store. Whatever the circumstances are, you got yelled at by a celebrity. That's what we're looking for.
You know, there has to be a lot of times because celebrities are just human. So they got to be super frustrated at times.
Of course.
And then say they run into Allie and it's just, it all goes south.
Do you know that kid Cole Strauss from Riverdale?
Uh-huh. Yes.
He has a great Instagram account where he's basically in a duel with people taking secret photos of him.
Oh, I've seen that. Yes.
Hold up their phone a little bit and take a photo at like a restaurant.
Yeah.
And
act like they're tweeting or something else.
He tries to take the photo quicker. Like he's always, and he has a full Instagram account just trying to battle people. And I think that's an easy way to get people to yell at you for the record.
You mentioned Allie, Kevin. How come?
Allie?
It happened to me. I was in early high school. So I was a freshman or a sophomore at high school. And I was at my local supermarket. And Martin Sheen was shopping at the same time.
Wow. This was before he was the president.
Yes. That was also just a TV show
called The West Wing.
So I was just getting grapes. and I hear this man yelling at me about the plight of the migrant worker.
What? That's on brand.
And I was like, what the hell, old man? What's your problem? And I'm like, I'm just getting grapes. And he's like, do you not understand anything of what's going on around you? And I'm like looking around the supermarket.
13,
I was
14?
Like, 14 years old. I'm looking around the supermarket. I'm like, no, dude, I'm getting grapes. Do you know who picks those grapes? No, I don't. He's then getting more and more mad that I wasn't aware of the plight of the migrant worker. I'll just say this. This is pre-internet. I couldn't just go, I'll Google it later, old man. I had to sit and listen to him.
I'll Google it in 10 years when the internet comes out.
Talk about it. And then literally 6 months later, I went to an all-girls Catholic school. He was part of this big deal that we went down to the mission and we served food. And he showed up.
Yeah, I got arrested a bunch of times in a row.
He showed up and I was like, that's that old dude that yelled at me.
Oh, my God.
What is happening right now? Now he's following me? Like, is he going to yell at me about the homeless people we're serving? It was bizarre. And do I think about it every time I have a grape? Yes.
I love it.
Every time I have a grape, I'm like, damn it, is Martin Sheen around to
he's
scream
ruined
at me?
Grape.
That it was insanity.
That's an amazing story.
It was cuckoo.
When we were in our early 20s, my friend Matt and I would go to nightclubs because that's what you do in your early 20s. And we were standing outside. It was a place called Club AD on Highland. And we were standing outside and Maddie was leaning on a car that was like in the street, just mm-hmm. leaning on it a little bit. You know how you talk and lean? And a guy comes out and you just hear, get off my car!
Oops.
And we were like, oh my God. And so he gets off the car and this dude gets up in Matt's face. Huge guy. Huge. Like 6'5", monster buff dude. And he's like, were you on my car? And Matt was like, I'm sorry, I was just leaning on the car. He's like, you get off my car, you punk bitch! Like, he's just yelling at him. And we were like, oh my God. It was like tiny list, like Debo from Friday.
Oh.
And he was screaming. And you can't do anything because that dude could kill you.
Yeah.
So Matt
plus
just,
he was sitting on your car.
Yeah,
on his car.
He was right. Yeah, he wasn't wrong. And so Matt just stood there and was just like, and just took it. As a whole group of people outside the club just watched Maddie get like dressed down by Zeus.
Did you
tiny
step
listing.
In between Zeus and your
what?
Friend Maddie
no.
and go, hey, that's my
like,
friend?
No, I was like, yeah, he was on your car. Like, I went full tiny listing.
Dude, that if TMZ had existed back then,
I know.
That would have been a hot video for them.
It was so, I mean, it
they
was like
all over that.
Also, like, he was like playing his character almost. Yeah. He's like, give me your bite! Like, he was like literally doing a character, but in real life.
That's fantastic. Yeah. All right, let's take a call before the break. 1-800-520-1067. You were yelled at by a celebrity. We're going to Long Beach, line 2. We're saying hi to Alex. Line 2, Kevin.
Yep.
Saying hi to Alex. Up next on the Kevin DeBeach Show.
Hey, Alex.
Good morning, you guys.
Morning. Hey, what's up?
So about 10 years ago, driving down Sunset Boulevard West, trying to get onto the 405, which is a nightmare during rush hour. It's where the two lanes merge into one, and usually the protocol is one car goes first and another from each lane.
Right.
And this Range Rover to the left of me was trying to cut me off. I whipped around and basically stared at the person in the car, and it was Tracy Ullman, who then gave me the middle finger and told me to go F myself.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a great story.
That's very good.
I love it.
At least you didn't leave her a bad Yelp review.
Yeah,
thank you for listening, Alex. Thank you for calling.
That's a power move, Benson.
That was strong.
I just called you Benson.
1-800-520-1067. You ticked off a celebrity. We want to hear your story coming up next on K-Rock.
All right, just ahead of playing a song, let's get to Scott. We're talking about celebrities yelled at you. Scott and Stanton, good morning.
Hey, guys.
All right, who was it and why?
It was Ed Asner.
Oh, no. Why?
I love it.
He's like America's sweetheart.
Explain to people who Ed Asner is, Bean.
He's the grandpa in Up, is who he is.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and so I was, I got lucky enough to play football with him and Valerie Bertinelli and a few other celebrities. And I was quarterback, and Valerie Bertinelli was on my team. So I threw just a nice down and in, but I was so excited and so nervous, I threw it too hard.
Yeah.
And when I got back, Ed Asner was defending, was going to tackle me. So he got really
Ed Hasler hasn't tackled anyone since the First World War. What are you talking about?
You could have waited another 30 minutes. Ed wouldn't have gotten to you.
Although I guess he wasn't old. He wasn't always old. This had to have been some time ago when he was a younger man, maybe just in his 80s, right?
It was some time ago. It was when Battle of the Network Stars was on, and I snuck into this event at Pepperdine University, and somehow I got to be on that little situation.
Good
and
times.
I almost hurt her, and he almost killed me.
That's fantastic.
Now, there is no catch.
There's no catch.
There's no catch.
I had it ready to go, Allie. I had it ready to go. All right, you're a good man, Scott. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What celebrity yelled at you? We'll take your call after Muse on K-Rock.
You got yelled at by a celebrity, and we should mention that we didn't even think of this, but once the internet was around, everybody sort of had to watch themselves.
Right.
Because it could
behave
be
a little bit.
It could be posted and go around the world. So most of these sightings are from 1922.
Yeah. Like, Jesus, I thought that was a weird one.
Well, Manny writes in at Kevin B. I was in Hollywood at the In-N-Out Burger on Sunset. I was getting a drink. I turned around and bumped into someone and knocked his food tray out of his hands. All of a sudden, I see it's Adam Sandler. He's in front of me, upset. He picked up his burger off the ground and threw it at me. Sorry, Manny. That's on you. You knocked the Sandman's food down. He's allowed to throw it at you, as far as I'm concerned. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-520-1067. Leonora, Koreatown, up next, line 5.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, what's up?
Well, it was a Sunday morning. I was actually in Silver Lake at the time. Again, it was before internet. You guys are right.
Mm-hmm.
It was 11 o'clock in the morning. It was a Sunday morning. It was like, I don't know, the beginning of fall, maybe early September. And I was going to start an exercise routine. So my car door was open. I was parked on Silver Lake Boulevard. And it's a very busy street. And people are walking their dogs. There's a dog park.
This is too much.
What kind of dog?
I mean, feel like you have set the table now for a story.
I mean, seriously, the fall and the leaves and the exercise routine and where you park. None of that is necessary for your story, Leonora.
So what happened?
Well, it's a good story. He's always got a good setup. So anyway, I was starting my exercise, and he walked by, and my music was blasting. You know, it was Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, and he yelled at me. He said, "It's too loud." And I looked at him, and I recognized him, and I said, "Dude, I like you. Don't yell at me." And he kept yelling at me. He goes, "Put your music down." I said, "No." Anyway, he just walked on, and I just yelled at him. I said, "You're raining on my parade, dude."
Who is he?
Oh, I'm sorry, John C. Reilly.
So you're still happy about your setup to your story? Right. Bye, Leonora. I can't believe. All right, let's go to Bob, line 8, please. Tustin, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. You guys are going to die when you see the kinds of celebrities that people are calling about.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. You were yelled at by a celebrity.
I was yelled at by Ted Nugent.
What?
Dude,
see how he did it? He just came right out and said, I was yelled at by Ted Nugent.
Leonora, learn a little something from our friend Bob.
Yeah, how loud was the music, though, Bob? I mean, what song were you playing?
Was it Fall?
Fall.
Well, his music was playing. He was making an in-store appearance at Music Plus, if anybody remembers that.
Sure, sure, of course.
1975, and we were big fans, and... But we always wondered why he played that big hollow body Birdland guitar when everybody else played like Strats and Les Pauls, you know, solid body guitars.
Right.
And I'm going to ask him, you know, why he plays that. And it may have been the way I phrased it. But when we finally got up to him, he didn't remember his music's playing over the air and over the store system.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, can I ask a question? I was wondering why you play that big old guitar. He goes, "Why do I play that big old guitar? I'll tell you why I play that big old guitar. I'd like to hear Les Paul do that. I'll shove Les Paul up your ass." And I'm just, you know, I'm just like a 16-year-old kid. I'm just... My friend, come on, Bob, let's go. You pissed off Mr. Nugent.
I guess we've learned that celebrities just were meaner before they could be recorded by
internet.
A phone.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
For sure.
Celebrities are just like us. Hey, Ted, what do you think?
When you sit down across from someone who has more families
with dying little boys and girls get a call to take them on their last fishing trip in life. Well, call me when you meet someone who does that more than I do.
Okay, all right.
It's a weird in-store.
Sir, this is a Music Plus. All right, let's try John Hacienda Heights up next, line 7, please, on K-Rock.
All right, John, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. You were yelled at by a celebrity.
Yes. It was Charlton Heston.
Oh.
Whoa.
Wow. Why so soon?
You've been holding on to this story for a while.
And it was last week.
What happened? What were the circumstances?
He was doing a signing at a showing of El Cid back in about 26 years ago. And I asked him if he would personalize an autograph. I asked him if he had signed it as Taylor. That was his name in Planet of the Apes. Well, he got upset with me, and he just says, can you imagine if I had to personalize each and every one of these people's autographs, how long it would take? And I was embarrassed immediately, but then I was thinking after, I go, the voice of God just yelled at me.
Yeah.
You know, it was so, yeah, but, you know, he was really nice after. He said hi to me when he was walking back up. So, you know, yeah, he obviously didn't hold any grudges, but that's
take
just something
your
I always
sticky
remember.
Paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
I mean, I thought that was inappropriate
for the signing, yeah.
When he said that, yeah. Thank you for the call, though. We appreciate it very much. Let's go to Nick Glendale up next, line 5, here on K-Rock.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's happening, party people?
You got yelled at by a celebrity.
Actually, I almost threw hands with Jeremy Pivens. We were in Hawaii about 14 years ago. We were at a U2 concert, and back in those days, you got general admission at a U2 concert. We're sitting right on the front row next to the gate, and Jeremy comes in. He wants to get backstage, and he pushed my 12-year-old daughter out of the way to get backstage.
That's a real Piven move.
And yes. Did he yell,
Lloyd!
Well, what's funny, man, it was I grabbed him. He had a big bodyguard. He goes, do you know who I am? I'm Jeremy Pivens. And I'm like, no, you're the guy about ready to get his ass kicked, man.
Nice. Yeah.
Good line.
You are lucky he only pushed your daughter, by the way.
Okay. Oh, well, check this out, man. And behind me, I'm sitting there hanging out with Kid Rock, Laird Hamill, Gabrielle Reese, Cindy Crawford. Kid Rock.
Why are you naming celebrities now?
Listen,
man, we were having such a great time. Just puff, puff, pass. It was just
Carlton Heston there.
Coming up, we have bad secret Santa presents, and we're going to argue over who has the best one here, which of course is me.
Right.
No. And comedian Greg Fitzsimmons will join us.
A little hat guy.
Fitzdog.
In the 8 o'clock hour. First, Muggs is here. Why are you here, Muggs?
Well, it's that time of the year, you guys, where we recap all my gold. And my gold.
I didn't realize that was it. Okay.
Yes, it's time to take a look at the top beer mug interview moments.
The top beer mug interview moments. The top beer mug interview moments. The top beer mug interview moments. That's outrageous. When beer mugs on the case, you'll stay. Microphone in your face. Questions, he's got none. He just yells, that is awesome. And when you think that is it, he says, that's fantastic. Yeah. Beer mug is such a stud. Oh no, I meant he's a dud. Top beer mug interview moments. Let's go.
That is correct, you guys. Yeah, great. Good. Great,
hey,
Omar.
Hey,
intro.
Mugs, if you don't mind, just a note. Microphone's on.
I know. I get excited, guys.
See, you don't need to yell at
me. He's our cocaine Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah. This amplifies your voice.
What?
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. You can just talk at a normal tone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Here we go.
How long have you been working?
14 years.
Okay.
So,
okay.
This year was interesting because I wasn't put on a lot of assignments, but that did not stop my output.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So we start at the beginning of the year at the Atlanta Super Bowl Radio Row.
Okay.
With none other than Kenny Mayne. You know, we all know Kenny Mayne, ESPN legend.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't really up to date on his projects.
Right. Will you be able to recap the game on the NFL Sunday Countdown?
I have nothing to do with Countdown anymore. I'm just doing SportsCenter.
For years.
Yep.
Not a new one.
How many years?
Oh, yeah. He hasn't been on for years.
Awesome.
So that was number 10. Number 9, still at the Super Bowl Radio Row, with a NFL journeyman by the name of Natrell Jamerson, and he plays safety. And I like to read a lot of the info. A lot of the people that they bring to me, I don't have info on, so I go on my phone and read it really quick, and that might have been resulted in this.
What was it like going to Wisconsin and being drafted fifth, right? Fifth pick by the Green Bay Packers, man.
Actually, I got drafted by the Saints.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I love that. Yep. I didn't know that. Like, oh, really?
Yep. Here's what I love about Muggs, though, is he gets the details wrong, but he always asks very detailed questions.
Yes, very detailed, yeah.
Why would
it's
you
almost
add...
like he's, it's almost like he's asking for
it. Just say that he was drafted into the NFL. Yeah. That's good.
Oh, what's it like playing in the NFL?
Right.
That's good enough.
Keep it vague.
Number eight. This,
unless you're Bugs.
Number eight, this is one of my favorites. This is when I was interviewed by some guys from 1116 Sen. That's Melbourne's home of sport from Australia. Mm-hmm. They wanted to get my take on my prediction for the Super
this
Bowl.
This is, look, at Super Bowl, there's Radio Row, yes. And there are players walking around, coaches walking around. But for the most part, it's just people interviewing each other.
And it's a lot of downtime.
Yeah, very much.
So this is what brings us to number eight and where I say goodbye to the guys. And
hey, great to have you on. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. Good luck to your team. I hope it all goes well for you.
Gary, Tim, Bob, it was a pleasure meeting you. I'm going to make it to your beautiful country one day. And my condolences to Pippa the dog. You guys heard about Pippa?
No.
Pippa was a dog.
We don't have a hell of a lot of time, do you, mate?
Okay, well, Pippa was a dog who was eaten by Casey the crocodile on the Adelaide River. He's dead. So
we'll look it up. Thanks for joining us.
They just wanted to get you off.
They literally said goodbye, and you're like, hold on, well, I gotta filibuster about Pippa.
Who they'd never heard of.
Right.
Never.
Which is weird, because they were from Australia.
Look, all this is gold. You were right.
Yeah, you are a king.
Number seven brings us to the Captain Marvel red carpet.
Excellent. This was gold.
And I had just seen a movie about the Four Seasons on HBO. Mm-hmm. And let's just see who I talked to. Ladies and gentlemen, this man does not need an explanation, okay? This man not only was a huge musical icon throughout the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now Mr. Frankie Valli. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific.
It's great to see you. I'm a huge fan of the Four Seasons, and I would like, if it's okay with you, to do my do a rendition of Sherry, and you tell me if I have a little if I have the singing chops. All right, here we go.
Yes,
Sherry, baby.
That was pretty good, man. I'll tell you that.
You heard it here first. Frankie Valli of the Four Seasons says my rendition of Sherry was pretty good.
I did, yes.
I assume he didn't hear it.
Actually, it was on pitch.
Muggs,
it was good.
Unreal. I also like when he was like, this is a man who needs no explanation.
Right. Yeah.
What does that mean?
The famous
introduction.
Phrase.
I think I meant introduction.
The famous phrase, this man needs no explanation. Give it up for Frankie Valli.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Number six brings us to the MTV Movie and TV Awards, where I got to make Jensen really jealous and interview Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch.
Yes.
And my question wasn't really up to par. On the real, when you guys join a show like this, obviously there's going to be drama, but how much of it do you guys want to avoid, and how much do you guys want to, like, you know, really get into the passion of it all? If that makes any sense.
No.
Didn't
make any sense.
No.
Zero. Then, from RuPaul's Drag Race, Trixie and Katya come along.
Muggs is a gift to us all. He's like our Christmas gift to Southern California.
Yeah.
And I asked,
and we used to say fire beer mug.
I know.
I don't know
no
why.
Longer.
I'm so happy you could say it about me now.
I ask Trixie and Katya a question that really doesn't have to do with anything about them. Have you guys ever met Eddie Izzard?
No.
You guys got to do that. He's the man.
Is he here?
I don't think he's here, but you guys...
Why is that relevant?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Great
so question. Now...
That was definitely the start of something problematic.
Is he here? No.
Why is that relevant is a question you never want to hear from anyone in the LGBTQ community. Like, it didn't feel good.
Immediately after that, I thought I'd make it up with a little bit of song. So that brings
excellent.
Us back to Trixie and Katya with the number four interview moment.
You look beautiful, both of you. And I do this for all the celebrities and famous people I meet, you know, localized on what you guys are known for. And
what?
It being RuPaul, I need to sing some RuPaul for you. Is that right? Here we go. You better work.
Cover girl.
Work it, girl.
Rule the world.
I think that's all I know.
Honestly, RuPaul, that could be all he knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was kind of endearing.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I didn't hate that one.
Didn't hate it.
I don't think that needs any explanation, if you know what I mean.
So now we get into our top three, you guys. And what better way than to highlight not only the interviewer,
huh?
the interviewer, right. But the interviewee. And okay. This brings us to Cheers with Beer Mug, yes. Where not only am I drunk, but the subject I'm talking to is drunk. And this is number three.
What's the worst injury you've ever had?
Gout. And my kneecap.
Gout. Let it all out. I wish I didn't have it in my lower kneecap. Come on.
Wow.
I'm talking about gout.
Come on.
Yeah. Tears for Fears is rolling over in their grave.
They're both alive.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, we all play along during Cheers with Beer Mug. Mm-hmm. Brings us to number two when I ask my man Jimmy.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Oh, baby.
Favorite. What his thoughts on the 50th anniversary of the moon landing were.
Jimmy, yesterday was the 50th anniversary that man stepped foot on the moon. Do you think that really happened or do you not think that really happened?
Well, I do believe they land on the moon, and yeah.
That one makes Jensen die every single time.
For the record, when we listened to it the first time, no one made a big deal out of it.
Really?
I swear, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper because I was like, I'm going to listen to it later and try to pull it. And then when I pulled it at home, my wife was near me, and we both were like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. How does he say it like
that?
So great. Also, there are two drops in that. There's also, do you think that really happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is from Muggs. It's a gold clip.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, I do believe they land on the moon.
So good.
So great. Congrats.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I can't believe that's even number. That's not number one, but I almost can guess.
Yes, you can.
Number one. Let me get a drum roll, please.
I'll give it to you.
Okay. This brings us back to Cheers with Beer Mug. To the best person I've ever interviewed during Cheers with Beer Mug. I've never seen him again. Can't get a hold of him. Ladies and gentlemen.
Because he's most likely dead.
With the worst injury you've ever had, here's Brian.
What's the worst injury you've ever had?
A split lip. It was in a cell at the old school Atlantis Country Club. A giant Samoan Suey forearmed me right in the face.
So that was the best pit you've ever been in where you got elbowed in the face. Forearm of the...
Best pit I was ever in!
That'll be three for three. Like, the best interviews in a row ever fast. What
is happening?
I know we focus on split lip because that's incredible. Yeah. But also a suey, which I also
still don't know what that
don't
is.
Know what a suey
we
is.
Went through,
we gotta play it again.
We've had 20 minutes.
We've had many people call in and explain the country club and that there were punk shows there and whatever. But a suey is still something that is up in the air. Okay.
All right, one more time.
What's the worst injury you've ever had?
A split lip. It was in a cell at the old school Atlantis Country Club. A giant Samoan Suey forearmed me right in the face.
So that was the best pit you've ever been in where you got elbowed in the face. Forearm of the...
Best pit I was ever in!
That'll be three for three. Like, the best interviews in a row ever fast. What?
If he says a giant swole Suey, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
A guy named Suey he was friends with.
It. Doesn't matter.
But who cares?
But who cares? Because those were the top Beer Mug interview moments. Well said.
Try it again.
Later this hour, we'll announce who's going to Spain to see Vampire Weekend. At the same time, K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 5 is already happening. Great double bill of Beck and Cage the Elephant in Toronto, Canada. Your chance to qualify for that by winning their tickets for the upcoming Southern California show at Five Point Amphitheater is at 9 a.m. this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Plenty of bad news. That's easy to find. But once a week, we give you 5 minutes of good news. In fact, I'll even go one step higher than that. 5 minutes of great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
Kevin, I'm going to start today. What?
What? I thought.
Yeah, you are.
Wait.
Yeah, you are.
When your kids were young, yep. Did you ever accidentally lock them in your car?
No.
That is surprising to me. Knowing how forgetful you are and how many things you leave behind.
I mean, honestly, I feel like I was probably followed around by someone to make sure.
I'm stunned that you didn't, like, you're in the Kmart and you go, wait a minute, I think I brought the kids with me.
No, I don't understand that. to be honest. That's a whole level of not paying attention that even I don't do.
Well, it does happen more often than we'd like, that's for sure, because it potentially can be very dangerous. This story comes out of Florida. It won't believe you, but believe me, it has a happy ending.
An unnerving moment for any parent. That child locked inside an SUV outside the Pasco County Courthouse. Thankfully, Pasco deputies were nearby, and a rare moment of inmates working with law enforcement.
Is she okay in there?
One-year-old Dallas alone, trapped inside her family's SUV.
By the way, are we rooting for or against the kid if her name is Dallas?
I mean,
I don't think it's the kid's fault.
Okay.
Yeah, and we need new strippers.
That's right. Okay. All right. So there are police officers around while the kid is locked in the car, and also inmates on a work release program. They'll turn out to be very important in this story.
You okay, baby?
Her father tossed the keys in the front seat. The doors locked after he buckled her in.
Try the door.
Try the front door.
The front door.
He hit lock, though.
The driver door.
A
crowd quickly forms to help, including a group of deputies and work release inmates they supervise.
You know, the trustees are people who made mistakes. We're trying to rehabilitate them and get back in society.
Five low-risk offenders jumping into action. They were repairing medians outside the West Pasco Judicial Center.
Surprisingly, somebody had a wire coat hanger. Were able to get the door open enough to get in there, unlock the door.
Unlikely teamwork saves the day.
Yes, thank God.
By the way, this in Florida, the inmates are wearing the old 1930s black and white outfits that they used to wear in jail.
I was very surprised to see that. It was almost like a comedy sketch. Yeah.
Yeah. And where did the wire coat hanger come from?
Don't know. Who had
a coat hanger with them?
Probably just one of the prisoners.
So some of the inmates pulled the door open enough for them to get the coat hanger in there and were able to pop the lock.
Sheriff Chris Nocco says this inmate's unique skill set came in handy.
Only when the deputy's around, we give permission, can you break into that car?
In Dallas, his parents tell me, despite the scare,
honey, was that stressful? Oh my God.
She is doing just fine.
Beat it, kid. So everything's fine. The inmates saved the day, and that's my great news.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. Mine comes from Houston. A 5-year-old student in Willis has a lot to smile about as her teacher's sweet jester. Priscilla Perez is the 5-year-old's name. Her mom cut her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be like shoulder length. You'll hear her tell this story, but you can't really understand what she's saying. But her mom just chopped it off, and then she was getting made fun of at school because of that from all the other kids.
Mm.
And the teacher, the kindergarten teacher, that stepped up and showed the love that she had for this kid was amazing.
The 5-year-old student got a rough start to the school year, and it all had to do with her hair.
It's shoulder length like here, and then my mom cut it.
It was shoulder length like here, then my mom cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just know that the little kid is thinking, stupid mom cutting my hair.
About that time, friends started to color a boy.
And those words from her classmates cut deep.
I was crying because I think the school was not fun.
Priscilla would come to school in a hat and refuse to take it off.
She finally came to me and said that she wanted her hair long, and I asked about her hair, and she said that it was short underneath her hoodie.
But this challenge was not one Miss Grimm would back down from.
So it was almost to my waistline, my hips right there.
She's talking about her own hair.
To her
was
hips.
To her hips.
Wow.
This teacher decided to cut her hair.
I am going to do other things for my friends in my classroom other than just teach them. I'm going to show them the love and the support that they need in order to learn.
The new hairstyle did the trick. A lesson in a classroom that will stay with this little girl forever.
And who's beautiful? Priscilla's beautiful.
Isn't that sweet?
Well, now we have two people with terrible haircuts instead of just one. I don't see how that's a step in the right direction.
She even had matching bows for every day so that she could match the little girl so that the girl didn't feel so alone. And it literally stopped people from making fun of the kid.
I mean, to her face, right?
And that's my... I mean, I've had a little bit of momentum, but go ahead.
Sorry. What's the deal with the mom, by the way?
Why'd she cut her hair? I don't know. Yeah, mom's never not interviewed.
And how furious is she going to be at this teacher, by the way, showing her up like that? All right, back to you.
And that's my great news.
My story is out of Newton, Massachusetts, and there's a town with a little 2-year-old girl, Samantha Savitz, in it. She's deaf, and she loves to go on walks with her parents. and chat with anybody possible. She just wants to engage with all of the neighbors. And her whole personality changes when somebody, you know, comes out and they try and engage with her. The only problem is it sometimes makes her really sad when she's, you know, doing sign language and people can't do it back. And here is what they have to say about that.
Her desire for engagement has been painfully obvious to everyone in the neighborhood. Whenever they see her on a walker in her yard and Sam tries to be neighborly, they find themselves at a frustrating loss for words.
I didn't know what to say back. Wouldn't you like to talk to her?
You know, basic conversation that one would have with a child.
Asking her about her day.
And make her feel that she is part of the neighborhood.
Just be her friend.
So those are all the neighbors that
how
are like,
about
how
all the
do
neighbors
we,
in that neighborhood?
Right? They're like, how do we talk to her? And Steve Hartman in the story says, this isn't something that a casserole can fix. You'd need the whole community to get together and learn sign language, which is insane, right?
Which is never going to happen.
Except it did. All of her neighbors got together, hired an instructor, and are now fully immersed in an American Sign Language class. She's brought this community together that just wants to be able to communicate with this little girl when she's out on her walks. And this level of inclusion obviously is going to do so much just for Sam, let alone the neighbors. And her parents said that they're already seeing a difference in Sam. Like, she's That's rarely sweet. Let down. She's rarely sad anymore, which is so wonderful. And this is a beautiful ending to the story because Steve Hartman, he sums it up perfectly here.
Sometimes it feels like America is losing its sense of community. But then you hear about a place like this, where the village it takes to raise a child is alive and well and here to remind us that what makes a good neighborhood is nothing more than good neighbors.
Oh, they got together and they all learned sign language.
First thing that you sort of lose when you grow up is the idea that everybody can get together and do something. You just go, it doesn't happen.
Absolutely. Everyone
Three
stays
of them will,
to themselves.
But then everybody else will stay home.
Yeah, this whole neighborhood got together to learn sign language to make life for little Samantha a little bit better. And I think that's amazing. And that is my great news.
A little bit later on this morning, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew. We've got People Are Dumb. We've got tickets for WonderCon. Just after 7 o'clock, about a half hour from now, we have tickets for April Foolishness. And, I mean, good luck. Good luck with this game.
Really?
Yeah, this is Laferoki.
Oh, no.
Right. So Omar comes in, DJ Omar Khan comes in, and he tries to recreate famous people's laughs.
Yeah.
And he's usually nowhere near.
He thinks he's dead on.
He does. He's very proud of himself.
Yeah, which is a gift, really.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a little bit of that as well.
Do you?
Yeah. A little more confidence than you should have in your ability. But anyway, that's coming up just after 7 o'clock. First, it's time for Cheers with Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow. Right? Mugs, tell me about you and your bar. Same bar every time?
Same bar every time. The only time I did not go to this bar was when I did Cheers with Beer Mug at Lightning's going away party.
Okay.
So we went back to O'Grady's in Granada Hills. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
it's the same group every time you go?
For the most part, it's like the television show Cheers. You walk mm-hmm. in and the same people are at their spots and, hey, Phil, hey, Bob, hey, John.
And you're one of them now?
And I am one of them.
Is that right? So nice. When you walk in, they greet you, hey, mm-hmm. Mugs?
I feel like a celebrity in there.
All right.
Tone it down a bit. All right. So you have the K-Rock microphone.
Mm-hmm.
You wander around. You talk to people who are drinking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you ask them questions, and they all give you some pretty interesting answers. What was the question this week?
Question this week, of course, you know, we're coming off a very wild St. Patrick's Day weekend, and there's a lot of imbibing. So I wanted to see what the best cure for a hangover was.
Oh, see, that's genius. Because people that drink all night probably have the answer to that.
Absolutely.
All right, so what's the cure to a hangover?
I'm here with Big John. Big John, I'm trying to... Hold on. Test 1, 2. I'm here with Big John. Test. I'm here with Big John. Big John, what's the best...
Can I just butt in and say...
Can I just butt in and say, why do you keep testing?
I don't know.
It's not the microphone not recording isn't the issue. It's you saying things.
I might have been a couple down already.
No, aware of that. But I'm saying even then, you're the problem, not the mic. So you check it every time before you then try again.
You're trying to find out why I do what I do, Kevin. It's impossible.
You just keep doing what you're doing is what I mean.
I'm here with Big John. Big John, I'm trying to... Hold on. Test 1, 2. I'm here with Big John. Test. I'm here with Big John. Big John, what's the best... I'm here with Big John. Big wow. John, what's the best cure for a hangover?
Well, in my personal experience, the best cure for a hangover is possum stew.
So I'm here with Veronica, not Vanessa.
No
Veronica,
follow-up to possum stew?
Sounds good to me.
I mean, did you not have any follow-up questions or just the way it was edited?
It was normal.
So you said, yeah, okay, possum stew.
Sweet. Where can I get some?
You didn't even ask that.
I know.
All right.
So I'm here with Veronica, not Vanessa. Veronica, not Vanessa, what is the best cure for a hangover?
You got to clear out your stomach, so you got to make yourself vomit.
Nice.
Okay.
Followed by a little bit of sex.
Ooh. Ooh, you know, I'm sensing.
After you brush your teeth, of course.
Ooh. Is that a noise you ever want to hear Beer Mug make? Ooh. Now, is Vanessa not Victoria? Is she...
Vanessa not Veronica? Or Veronica not Vanessa?
Is she, you know, hot?
Yeah.
Ramson, what's the best cure for a hangover? You're a bartender, so you should know.
Mimosa. You got to brunch hard every time you... Wait, what?
I'm here with Alex the White Russian. Alex the White Russian, what is the best hangover cure?
Oh, In-N-Out 4x4, animal-style fries, and a large iced tea, and a blunt.
You're speaking my language.
Oh, child, you know.
A little bit of the hair of a dog that bit you. You know, you have to have a little bit, if you're coming out, the same stuff you were drinking the day before or night before.
What if the stuff you were drinking the night before made you violently ill?
That's even better, because you've got your stomach clean, it's empty, you need another bit of a bite.
Clyde, what's the best cure for a hangover?
Well, it's always worked for me. A nice little, you know, oral pleasure. it drains the poison out, you know?
Was he giving you a look right then, Muggs? Like,
yeah.
Huh?
Tapping
his foot.
And relieves the headache and relaxes you so you can go back to sleep.
Oh, my God. That is a fantastic answer, Clyde.
Best way to cure a hangover at that moment. At that moment, there's nothing you could do about it. Gatorade don't work. You just got to either do another shot or drink again. But at the end of the day, we have all kinds of technology in the world, but not one person created a pill or a drink to cure hangovers. And that's so crazy.
Elon Musk is the next guy to do it, probably, right?
If he's not too busy,
now,
right?
Here's my favorite thing. The pause after this guy says it. It's a shame technology hasn't done it. The long pause, and then Muggs comes in with so little energy. Elon Musk, guys.
And that's so crazy.
Elon Musk is the next guy to do it, probably, right?
Excuse me?
Elon Musk is the next guy to probably do it.
Well, he put a plane in or a car in the Mars or something like that, right? Yeah.
He can do it. He put a car on Mars. Did you guys know that?
That was at the end of the night, I think.
Really? What a surprise. So none of them really know.
Yeah, I think there were some good tips in there, Allie.
I mean, there's nothing new. It's hair in the dog and it's throw up. I mean, yeah, sure.
I mean,
Allie's pointing at the junk. Sure, that always helps. But other than that, not really. Maybe we have to do the phone topic again relatively soon with people because they seem to always have their own answer, what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the people at Muggs's bar do.
So. Menudo.
Can't eat menudo.
No. My people make a mean menudo.
No, thank you.
Hey, you guys. Beer Mug.
Yes!
No. Invited in the studio and he's sitting in front of a microphone.
Beer Mug's allowed.
Should I turn it
turn
on?
Turn his mic on.
Okay.
Come on, man.
It's on you then.
You need me for this.
at this point, you have to at least acknowledge that you're aware that Beer Mug works here.
I mean, he works here, but does that mean I turn on his microphone automatically?
Yes, that's what it means.
That's a bad choice, Bean.
Beer Mug is part of the family, and it's the holidays, and he should be welcome at our table.
Thank you.
Hey, it's time for Bean Mix's Guess.
Bean Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Remix's Guess.
Yes. I don't see how those clips are appropriate to what we're doing.
We've had that conversation before. Asked and answered.
I would have felt a lot better about this topic had K-Rock not posted it on all of its social media yesterday ahead of doing BBX's Guest, so I'm afraid that you guys have already read the article, but there was a headline made when the Queen biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody, crossed the $128 million mark and is now the second highest domestic grossing music biopicture of all time. Now, this does not include documentaries. This is just, they hire an actor to play a musician, a real-life musician. And there's a long history of movies that have been made about musicians, groups, and solo artists. Bohemian Rhapsody is now number two on the all-time list here in the United States. So what I'm going to ask you guys to do is tell me what else is in the top 10. What other movies made about musicians are in the top 10 all-time U.S. box office? Again, no documentaries, and I'll also save you this guess. It looks like they don't consider Spinal Tap a real band.
What are these people? Garbage.
Because that was a comedy-made-up band for the movie. So you don't have to guess Spinal Tap. So Bohemian Rhapsody, we know, is number two. Kevin, you are up first. What movie do you think might also be in top 10? In fact, you might even want to think, what could be the highest grossing of all time?
Walk Hard.
That was an actual real guess from Kevin. Did you read the article yesterday?
No.
Number three.
Wow.
Number three. In fact, that's the one that the Queen movie went ahead of. The story of Johnny Cash and June Carter has made $119 million. Bohemian Rhapsody just went ahead of that.
That's Claim Walk the Line.
Two. Yeah.
Walk the Line. Walk Hard is the comedy.
Is everything you said opposite? No fake bands.
No.
So, okay.
I thought you said Walk the Line.
I had Walk the Line on my little
list. Walk the Line as my choice.
I'm going to give Kevin Walk the Line because I misheard it.
Oh, man. I hope you mishear me.
Got a point.
Kevin got a point. I'm so sorry. I feel like a moron. All right. Beer Mug, I think you're next.
Straight Outta Compton.
Number one, ladies and gentlemen. Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah. That's just bad order for me.
$161 million. That is the top all-time music biopic. All right. So we got number one, number two, and number three. Jensen, it's to you.
We're in a tough spot here, but I'm going to have to say, what's Love Got to Do with It?
Number 10.
Interesting.
Wow. Well done. That was the Tina Turner story, of course, played by Angela Bassett, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
$39 million. Number 10, all-time music bio box office. Kevin, you're up.
Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny.
I'm sorry, no. Cult movie not on this list, at least in the
top 20. Ridiculous list.
We weren't talking about which ones you liked the most, which ones made the most money. All right, Muggs.
The Doors with Val Kilmer.
Wow.
That's a great guess. Number 14, though.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Number 14. Great movie. I watched that within the last month, directed by Oliver Stone. Great movie. All right, Jensen, you're up.
Finding myself at a real crossroads here. Let's say Woodstock.
Woodstock is a documentary, no documentary.
Well, the Dimitri Martin. It's not on there, though.
The Ang Lee film?
Yeah. Okay.
No. That was a fictional story, anyway. All right, Kevin, you're up.
You're being pretty picky, Bean.
It's not me being picky. I'm giving you parameters so that you can guess right.
Kevin and Bean's rock star.
Come
on!
Oh, wow, that seemed...
I'm sorry, it didn't make it. Muggsy.
This was a terrible movie, but I think it made a lot of money. All Eyes on Me.
Ladies and gentlemen, number nine.
Wow, he's killing.
What? Number nine. You're good at this. That was the Tupac movie.
Yeah. I saw that movie in theaters.
Wow. $44 million.
Not
well
a good
done.
Movie.
All right, Jensen. Although that kid looks so much like Tupac, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really did.
All right, Jensen, I believe you're up.
I'm running out of guesses here, guys. I don't know. Chip's also writing ones down, and I'm making me more nervous. I wish there was a Papa Roach movie, just so I could answer with it. I'm passing.
All right. Mm-hmm. If Jensen is out, shall I just go ahead and unveil
it? I have one more guess.
All right. One more guess for Muggs.
Okay. Because this will put me in the lead, and I think I'll win.
And then I have one.
La Bamba.
La Bamba is number six.
Yes!
Although technically, I think he said Lumbamba.
He said Lumbarba, which is a movie about the seats in your car.
I said La Bamba.
That is the story of the great Los Angeles Hispanic artist Richie Valens, number six. Well done, Muggs. Right,
One last guess. Airheads. Okay.
No.
Come on! Ridiculous!
Some of the ones outside the top ten, in case you're wondering, Great Balls of Fire, the Jerry Lee Lewis movie, the Buddy Holly story, Get On Up, the one that was James Brown movie from a couple of years ago, the Selena movie, Notorious, the B.I.G. movie, was at number 11. Here's your top 10. What's Love Got to Do with It? All Eyes on Me. Number 8, Jersey Boys, the story of the Four Seasons. Number 7, I believe it won the Academy Award for Best Picture, Amadeus.
Yeah.
Wow, I wouldn't have got that in a million guesses.
Amadeus.
No. All right.
Then La Bamba was number 6. Coal Miner's Daughter, the Loretta Lynn movie, at number 5. Ray at number 4.
Sure.
Jamie Foxx won his Academy Award for playing Ray Charles. And then Walk the Line, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Straight Outta Compton. Congratulations to Muggs. You are our winner. This has been Beat Makes Us Guess. Beat Makes
Us Guess. How about some How Does the Story End?
How does the story end, my friend? Friend, how does the story end?
This guy might be the best storyteller of all time. His name is Frank Amedia, and he's a televangelist.
Oh.
Now, I'm not coming at this from a position of I don't believe in God or whatever. Mm-hmm. I come at this from a position of not everybody that says they're speaking for God are speaking for God. And this guy might be one of them who's not.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells several stories, and I would like you to tell me how this one ends.
They call me the tsunami pastor because when the tsunami was crashing down in Hawaii, the Lord woke me, and that's another testimony, and I raised my hands.
How does the story end?
It's a quick one. It's a quick story.
Oh, he probably stopped the tsunami with
the tsunami stopped, and it peeled and went the other way.
Come on.
The tsunami stopped.
Can I smell BS from a mile away? Well, the schnoz.
I mean, that was not that difficult to watch.
Okay, listen.
Okay, I'm just
all
saying.
Right.
Many people, eyes opened, ears opened, cancer healed.
Okay, now he's telling a bunch of stories about the things that have happened and the power of God that he's seen in his career.
Okay.
But he's leading up to nothing prepared me for
the
greatest story of all time.
Kidneys that weren't there when a baby was born, a kidney and a half came. A heart that was missing, a half a heart that was born.
Praise God.
Incredible miracles of God. But I have to tell you, Judge and TCT family, this was the most incredible. And when I tell you, you're going to say, how could this be it? But it's truth. This is all truth.
Sure.
Sure. That guy doesn't even believe him.
No.
The guy that's the host doesn't even believe him.
And the random clapper in the back.
So there's a woman there just sitting there doing nothing but clapping.
Okay.
And the host hates him.
Sure.
And they're on some network. TCT Today is called, it's a Tri-State Christian Television.
Oh.
So this is what was better than a heart being fixed and cancer being healed.
And a little half a kidney.
Kidney and a half, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So here's the story.
And what it is, it's the resurrection of an ant.
An ant.
Wait, I'm sorry?
It's the resurrection of an ant.
An ant, like your sister, your mother's sister.
And what it is, it's the resurrection of an ant.
An ant, an A-N-T.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was an ant.
There was a longer pause there where he went, not ant. And then they did a little comedy about that.
Oh, good times.
Not like Aunt Jenny. Nope. Nope.
Oh, like I just
this
tried.
This is like an ant. Yeah. But I edited that out just for time.
Okay.
So we could get to the story because it's the greatest story ever told.
We need to hear it.
Right?
And what happened was Garth and I were just waiting to go do the baptism.
Sure. You don't want to be named Garth, do you? I mean, really, you don't.
I mean, Garth Brooks is doing okay.
Sure, Wayne's World, and that's it, though.
That's it.
Other Garths?
No.
And all of a sudden, I feel this sting on my leg. So I went like this. And I looked to see what it was, and I saw this ant crawled up my leg, and I whacked him. I took this big thumb, and I went like this. And I heard him squish. I felt it crack under my thumb, and a piece of it, it was two pieces. I went like this and flicked it. And it went down on the towel. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to me so clearly. And the Father said, son, look at the ant. I looked down at the ant. And as I did, I saw another ant come up over the side of the towel. And it began charging directly at this ant. I mean, it was an ant on assignment.
How
does the story end?
Just the part of the story with the ant that's charging. How do you think that ended?
The ant...
Wrong.
Okay. And then the Lord said to me, son, I hear the cry of an ant. I said, oh, my God. Wow. I began to weep inside of me. And then the Lord said, son...
I don't know how you weep inside of you.
Oh, because he's lying about everything. Now he's weeping inside him. You can't weep inside you.
How dare you suggest he's not telling the truth?
Oh. And then the Lord said, son, take your finger.
How does this story end?
No, it's just a joke. All right. So the Lord tells him to take his finger.
Take your finger and touch the ant. I went like this, Judge, and I got about this far from the ant.
Okay, not touching, but probably 4 inches.
Okay.
Maybe 3 inches.
Okay.
The power of God shot out the ant that was running around the other ant.
How does the story end?
What happened to Ant 2, the onrushing ant?
It had to stop in its tracks because the power of God was upon him.
He just flew. The power hit him, and he went like this. I don't know where he went, but he was gone. He was airborne.
You couldn't even think that big. But it's the power of God. That's okay. The thing.
And the other ant, it came alive. Oh. And the pieces all were together.
The pieces came back together. It was split apart.
Okay, because he squished it.
Yes, into two
with
pieces.
With his big old thumb.
Right, but then he pointed his finger at the ant.
Okay, different finger, though. Because the thumb's a dick. The correct. Thumb is Judas.
That's correct.
Okay.
And
how does the story end?
It's now Ant-Man?
And it jumped up on my finger, came up very slowly, my palm...
How does the story end?
Came up on his finger and was like, what up, dick?
Right.
What are you doing?
That's a much better ending
and
than this story would have.
And now it's Ant God, right?
Is there Ant God?
Yes.
Oh.
Stopped right there as if it was looking right at me.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I said, my God.
This is the guy.
Wow.
I can't.
Yeah, it's something. Story. How about this story? This is better than curing cancer. Ant.
A kidney and a half.
Come on.
Lord, what are you saying to me? And he said, that ant is appreciative of the fact that you gave it back its life.
Oh.
I said, my God, I'm so appreciative that you've given me back my life.
Isn't that a beautiful story?
Appreciative, too, of the fact that you can't say simple words.
That's how the story
Oh, my God. That story had everything.
I need more stories from that guy.
We've got to start recording that.
Right?
Yes.
Who's going to go through it? Because I can't.
Omar.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This
what
is
a little bitch you are.
Kevin and Bean
label things properly. Ah.
623.
Man, wow. I ain't got to come at me first thing in the morning like that.
We are on the air, Omar.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Yeah, no.
It's great to have you in here. I was trying to have a good day.
Omar has attitude now, now that he has a fan club, by the way. Hey, we want you to join us, you and a guest, to join us for Kevin Amin's Last Breakfast with Green Day in the HG Radio Sound Space Monday morning. We will give you those tickets in 5 minutes, 5 minutes from right now here on K-Rock. First, though, how did we get into talking about which member of the staff we were going to eat in the event of a zombie apocalypse? That seems like pretty desperate conversation.
Well, Ruben, during one of his day in history bits, admitted that he has eaten people before back in the days of caves and hieroglyphics in his childhood. And so it quickly became who we would eat first from the staff.
Amongst us, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why are we going to need to eat each other?
Well, that is a ground rule.
Because I do feel like there's still food in the world.
Well, that's not what's going to happen.
Is it tainted? You know? We don't know.
Well, is it? Okay. Because Kevin wanted to know if it was a zombie apocalypse
yes.
or what the reasoning
or
was.
Or desert island. Very different.
I see it as fallen plane, alive soccer team. Like, I see it as something has happened. We were all together, and now we haven't been rescued, and it's time to eat someone.
Wait, so are we soccer players in this
no,
scenario?
But I'm saying, like, we are the we got flown somewhere to do the show.
Okay.
We crash, and we... It's been weeks.
Okay.
Are we the only people around, or can we eat other passengers we don't know?
Yeah, what about a
no,
flight
we were,
attendant?
Just us. No, it's just us now.
Just us.
Yeah,
who
we were
flew the
only
plane
survivor.
Then?
Pilots, but they were the only survivor. And now because we waited so long, their meat is tainted.
Look, just go with the basis, which is which of us do we eat first?
Yes.
I need a backstory.
Are we? Is it possible we're in an elevator and the elevator is stuck and now we're all starving?
However, it works out.
No,
we need someone.
I wanted to be more desperate. I need. Okay. We are in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, so we're in the Andes.
Yes.
And somebody's got to go. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Are we cooking them up or is it just raw?
Great point.
Good question.
Great point.
I think you have the ability to cook them up. Okay. You know, we have to make the fire, though. So keep that in mind when you're deciding.
Good luck with that with us.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Keep that in mind as to who we eat. Because we'd need someone with
skills.
My
thought is we have a little bit of time to plan because Jensen's going to off himself.
Yes.
Yeah. Jensen, if that's your plan.
I have immediately announced that I would kill myself in a zombie
apocalypse. So at that point, we have a week.
But the plane, I might have a little bit of... people are looking for us. We're not on the radio. A
little hope, then.
Yeah, a little hope.
So you don't want to kill yourself just in case we get rescued.
Correct.
Okay.
So I am available for eating.
I'll just go first.
Okay.
I'll just go first because we've got to get the conversation started here. And I know this is this might be a controversial choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think I eat beer mug first.
Okay. And why is that?
And the reason, twofold. One is there's way more meat on beer mug than anybody else. I mean, if we kill anybody else, we probably have to kill a second person in the amount of meat that we get off of beer mug.
Beer mug is just pointing to his crotch, saying there's more meat there.
All right.
Pointing to his crotch and mouthing the words "more meat here."
Yeah.
Right.
What I'm saying is, beer mug. There's enough meat on beer mug to feed all of us going around twice. Okay. First of all.
And the
second reason is because you always hear this that. The taste of flesh is impacted greatly by the diet of the person of what the animal eats.
Okay.
Right.
Beer mug. That's going to be some sweet meat, you guys.
See, now I disagree.
Yeah,
I eat mostly healthy. I eat clean as I can be. This man, he eats like French fries at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
He has disgust in him.
But on a good note, you get a meal and alcohol.
You do get buzzed.
But I can't really stand weed or whatever. So it'd be like eating an edible because he smokes so much weed.
And then he'd be so much more hungry.
But when you're stranded.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't eat mugs. That meat is tainted.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking not only the weed, not only the alcohol, but you get all of the sugar and all of the salt. I mean, I just feel like he would be delicious.
Wow.
There'd be a ton of them, and he'd be delicious. My choice is beer mug.
He wants your sweet and salty.
Yeah, baby.
All right.
Omar, who do you pick?
Allie. I'd have to eat Allie first.
Thank you.
Because I think she's the cleanest out of the bunch. Because we know Kevin is a stinky-ass white man.
Yeah. We know that.
You know
what
I mean?
Thank you.
Jensen's really hairy. He's probably the hairiest of the bunch.
Yeah, you got to get through a lot of hair.
It's like a kiwi.
Yeah. And then Bean, I imagine biting into Bean is like, you know when you bite into that fatty piece of meat because he doesn't work out? There's no tone in
the
Bean's
gristle.
Body.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you're
like the
chewing
gristle.
It for the rest of time.
Absolutely. It'd be like hella nasty.
It doesn't break down or anything.
Ironically, that is why I would eat Kevin.
Really?
I love chicken skin.
I feel like
you'd be eating chicken skin. It would be great. I like gristle. What you just sold me on, that's what I want from
Why
a barbecue.
Why is that what you want?
Because it tastes good. It's salty. It's like, it's just, and I don't have to worry about like cholesterol or anything. I feel like that's what I'm going for. I'm going for all skin.
But I don't think if you're in a situation where you're in the Andes and you're eating a human to stay alive, you're really concerned about your cholesterol. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I'm digging in. I'm trying to live longer, but still, the skin is the best.
Omar, is part of the reason you choose Allie is because she's a girl, so she's softer and you think she might be easier to eat?
No.
No.
Not really? No, no, no. I just think,
I don't like this.
You know,
no.
I think there's not that much hair to get through.
Okay.
First of all.
Thank you.
She chugs a bunch of water, so I think her meat's getting, you know, kind of like cleaned out.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
point.
Don't point at your crotch, Allie.
Well, if you said meat getting cleaned out, that would be the. Okay.
All right. I guess Allie, who are you eating?
I have friends in Peru, so I'm just walking to their house.
You're not playing the game.
Yeah, that's
Boo.
Not right.
Boo.
Eat someone.
Eat someone! Eat someone!
Eat! Okay.
I'm dying,
no,
you guys.
Bean's dead. Okay, well, Bean's
we
dead.
We got to start with Crystal,
so
then.
I'll start with him.
Tell him about the Green Day.
Okay, we have Kevin and Bean's last breakfast with Green Day. You can only win the tickets now. Last week, we were giving them away all day on K-Rock. Mm-hmm. This week, it's just on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to play a game next. So call now, 1-800-520-1067, and we will play a game and give you those tickets. King of Mexico just stepped into the studio, and that reminds me, we have a pair of tickets to see the L.A. Clippers versus Phoenix Suns on Tuesday, December 17th at Staples Center.
The heavily streaking Los Angeles Clippers. They have had a nice run recently, so it would be good to go see them right now.
So if you would like those tickets, we'll take caller 21-800-520-1067. You will be able to see the L.A. Clippers. Mm-hmm. Dave, what's up with your cat?
Guys, I'm concerned for him.
Okay.
He is darn cute. I got this cat about, you know, in April, right? So it's a new cat, and I got him so Rhonda's not alone. And
that's his dog.
My cat is so damn cute. I just tweeted a picture of him at KROQKOM.
Oh, that's what we wanted to focus on, is how cute your cat is.
From Kevin and Bean. Well, it concerns me because he is the cutest damn cat, but he is so stupid. And I've had cats growing up, and they have never been stupid. They've been, like, crazy, smart assholes. They've been whatever. Mm-hmm. But stupid is not one of them.
No, you don't hear that about cats much.
No,
that's not a cat
thing.
They're
always like, this cat's a genius.
Yes.
Yeah. This cat did the dishes for me. I didn't even ask him.
There's no cat doing dishes, by the way.
So have you ever heard a cat that licks the outlet?
Like the plugs.
The plugs. Yeah,
No.
First of all, he pulls them down. He won't let me charge anything. He pulls it down.
Pulls what down? Whatever's plugged in.
Why? Yeah, which is a cat thing to do.
That's also a hazard.
Yeah, but then he starts licking the outlets.
Which is more of a hazard.
Does he get bark or anything?
Yeah, does he get shocked?
No, he does. I guess not. He hasn't yet. So I light candles, right? Who doesn't?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've lit a couple. My cat has lit himself on fire.
By walking into it?
By walking by it. Not once, but twice.
Oh.
You've had him since April.
Since April. Twice.
Twice he's set himself up.
I only started lighting candles recently as it got a little colder. Okay. But
for warmth?
Yeah. No, just because it smells good.
Okay.
So you light yourself on fire once.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you kind of get it.
You get it. You're like,
you get it.
Sure.
Hey, that
light
hurt.
Yourself
that
on fire twice. Uh-huh. Okay, now I really get
Shame
it.
Shame on you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now this idiot is putting his face and looking at the flames, I'm watching him.
What?
It's mesmerizing.
It is mesmerizing. I agree. I can look at fire for hours.
But what you're saying is, like, your cat's so cute. It's like a supermodel. Like, it's dumb also. Like, you think maybe because it's so good looking, it also doesn't have brains?
Yeah, it's
never
a
needed to get a personality.
Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
So he has this fur that's everywhere, so it's easy to light.
Oh,
and
no.
The fire, I could see it in his eyes, and he's just mesmerized by it. So not only that, we have a box of matches to light the candle.
Sure.
He licks the side of the box where you light the matches.
Scratch, like the sandpaper part?
Yes!
I feel like there's a chemical on there or something.
That's what I'm thinking, too. And I looked it up on the internet, and people are like, I asked about this before. And they're like, well, maybe it's deficient in something. I was like, no, he's just stupid.
I don't know, like, there's people that eat dirt and people that eat really weird things, and it's because they're deficient in some certain vitamin, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I have you brought him to the vet and said, can you test him?
Can you fix
stupidity?
Fix stupid.
Got his checkup. He's fine. He's a normal cat. There's nothing wrong with him. He's 9 months now.
Oh, so you got him
as a kitten.
Okay.
Yeah. He's still a kitten.
Is it possible that he's already trying to tap out?
Yeah,
because
that's
of his owner.
Meaning.
He's trying
yeah.
because of his owner,
yeah.
right?
I mean, he's licking outlets,
right.
which clearly he could be electrocuted.
Right.
Fingers crossed.
And he's like, I still haven't been electrocuted.
And then he's like, well, that's actual fire. Let me try that. Okay, didn't work. Let me try it again. Okay, let me just try what makes the fire and lick the side of the matches.
Your cat is escalating to commit suicide.
Yes.
This is what's happening. Your cat wants out.
Wait.
You need to find a better home for this cat.
Listen.
Anybody that wants a cat, color 20.
Yeah. No, listen. Now he's licking the candle after we put it out. He's licking the candle wax.
Oh. Okay, are you feeding Roger?
Yes!
Are you sure?
We feed him. I give him plenty of treats.
Okay.
Treats, treats don't help depression.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Halloween songs.
Halloween songs. Okay. I mean, 'tis the season.
Yes.
Allie, you all right?
No.
Are you going to be all right?
I'm going to be fine.
Okay, I'm just checking.
It's not a big deal that, just one of my favorite actors is sitting right next to me, and all I want to do is sing with him.
Can I hit this button, Allie?
Yes, please.
We're going to sing and we're going to dance!
Very talented Walton Goggins is sitting with us right now. He is the star of two hit TV shows.
Running through the house with a pickle in my mouth.
Playing in the street, looking me outside, waving.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Ready?
Just two little kids outside misbehaving.
That, of course, is from the Smash HBO comedy called Righteous Gemstones. You can also see him on The Unicorn Thursday nights at 8:30 on CBS. He is everywhere, you guys. Walton Goggins, welcome to K-Rock, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, y'all.
I've loved so many things you're in.
Well,
so many.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's like, this is creepy. No, why does everyone love me?
Allie gave him a standing O when he walked in.
Red-faced.
Did you think that song was going to have a non-ironic response? People just like the jam.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we filmed it in Charleston, South Carolina, and we started working on the song about a month kind of beforehand, before filming kind of began, and it was, you know, we just were in a room like practicing kind of this routine, and we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think about like how it would play out like to the audience. Really, we just wanted to kind of get it right for this world.
You clogged your kind of ass off too. It wasn't just singing;
it was tap
you
dancing.
Were clogging.
Yeah, well, I'm a clogger.
I don't know if I believe that.
I really am
really?
A clogger. Yeah, yeah.
What?
I mean, I'm from a little town, Lithia Springs, Georgia, and you know our local kind of YMCA. I mean, we didn't have volleyball where I grew up.
Right.
We didn't have surfing.
You had clog.
You know, we had my mom put me in a clogging class.
Wow.
You know?
Really?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And she was a clogger. And so,
long line of cloggers.
Yeah, yeah, from a clogging Goggins.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Oh,
I
said
it.
When you walk into the room and Kevin says, and I'm sure you hear it everywhere you go, I love so many things you've been in. I can't imagine what it's like walking down the street with you because you have audiences from so many different shows. You don't know when someone approaches you, whether they're a Shield man or a Sons of Anarchy or Justified or whatever. It must just be a mystery to you every time you meet a new fan.
You know, that's a great when you really kind of think about that. You know, some people, you know, Walton Goggins. You know, I'll get that. I've gotten that for like a while, or I'll still get Walter Scroggins or
sure,
whatever that is. But you're right. You know, I've been around for a long time. Kind of I've been like in the television world really since the beginning of the Shield. So it's been about 19 years for me, and I've had such great fortune. You know,
do you have a favorite of the roles you've played? A character that you love more than any other? If that's possible.
The Unicorn Thursdays at 8:30 on CBS.
There you go, Kelly Call. Thank you so much, Kelly and David Nevin and Tom Sherman. No, and I do. I love this Wade Felton. You know, I really love them all, and I love them all equally, and they all hold a really special place in my heart. The thing that I don't know how you guys feel when you walk down the street and some people, you know, stop
unnoticed.
Just tired. No, until they hear you talk.
Sometimes,
But for me, I don't have a passive fan. Like either you really don't like me.
Well, you're
Or you really like me, or you have no idea who I am, and so you never
there's
really
no
know.
Just, hey, yeah. You're okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the conversations that I get in are pretty deep, you know, and they go deep really quickly. And I like that personally. I think that if somebody spends an hour a week with you. For 12 hours a year or 13 hours a year has been the case, my case, that they deserve as much time as you have to sit and talk.
With this many products, you must also get the fan who knows you but can't place.
Hey, it's that guy.
Where they know you from.
Yeah, you know.
They ask you to go through your entire IMDb?
So, you know, I wish that I had a card with my, like, IMDb. You just kind of hand
You may
hand
know
that
me
out,
from such shows
from
as
the Unicorn. No, yeah. That's not it.
Yeah.
But
I think there is
Sons
a period.
Anarchy. No.
Yeah, that's right. No, to have the Hateful Eight.
No.
No.
No, you're from something else.
Yeah. You know, I was working in South Africa, and for a while, I've been there for a bit over the past few years, and somebody, you know, that this conversation happened with a, you know, somebody on the street, and I said, maybe you're a Quentin Tarantino fan. First person in my life who I've ever heard say, Quentin Tarantino, like who is Quentin Tarantino? Oh, he had no, you know, no idea who Quentin Tarantino is, and then we found out that he was a fan of Major League Back to the Minors.
Amazing.
Did you deny
I'll
being,
take it.
Did you yes. deny
I'll,
being in that?
I'll take it.
No, that's great. Not me. That no. wasn't me.
That's so, I mean, that is great, though, to watch you go from being a bad guy in so many things to now showing off your comedic chops between,
and
obviously.
Your sweetness,
and your sweetness
too,
between
by
Gemstones
way.
And Unicorn.
But just with Gemstones and this, yeah. it is, on Sunday night, it was whiplash to watch you as Uncle Baby Billy and then to see you as such a love bug sweetheart on the Unicorn. I was like, what is happening with him?
Well, I'm you guys are like, I'm gushing. Thank you. Thank you. For, I mean, I like it's
and never
a little overwhelming, but
again.
Like in a, yeah.
Never
yeah.
say that. That'd be great. Yeah.
I know, but I really, no, I appreciate you saying that. And, you know,
as an actor, it's a dream to be able to play these kinds of roles, I imagine. Let's talk about Wade for a minute, just because I mentioned the sweetness. I mean, this looks like, if you don't watch it, it looks like another sitcom, but it has so many layers to it because of how great Wade is. I mean, we don't see very many characters like him on TV, right?
You know, thank you for saying that. You know, we have 22 minutes to tell our story.
Yeah.
And when CBS kind of came to me, it was a multicam, and a really good friend of mine, Peyton Reed, the director of Ant-Man and the Wasp, mm-hmm. was producing it along with his two partners, Mike Schiff and Bill Martin, and it was a story based on a really good friend of theirs that they had known since college, who lost his wife to cancer. And I said, well, I couldn't do this as a multicam. That's not really kind of my medium. But and they said, well, would you do it as a single cam? And we said, okay, if we really honor, you know, what this guy is going through and what his friends are going through. And they said, that's exactly what we want to do. And CBS said, that's what we want to do. And they gave us the space, really, to make people gut laugh.
Oh, right? Michaela yeah. Watkins and Rob Corddry are hysterical in every single scene. But then a minute later, I got a little tear going down my face.
You know
it
what?
It's got so much heart.
Thank you. Well, I think that struggle is universal. You know, mm-hmm. really, I think we've all, you know, you don't have to have lost a spouse. I mean, you could lose a job. Your dog could have passed away. You yeah. could have, whatever great change kind of happens in your life, whatever Rubicon you're crossing, on the other side of it, there is a new normal that you have to adjust to. And I think that's what we all have in common. And through this experience with Wade Felton, for me anyway, it is something that, if done correctly, you know, if you hit that
that's
tone,
the key.
You,
yeah, that's
right.
The key. Yeah.
And you hit that, and you hit that tone, which
thank
is
you, man.
Which is
every
that
woman
what,
in America
that's what
wants
makes it
to
work.
Date you, Walton.
And yeah. he's married. It's
I
such
feel
a,
like your wife probably doesn't love that yeah. aspect.
It's truly false advertising. Yeah.
I am, you know, I tell you, like having been, like Michael Chiklis was our leader on the show.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
And having been given an opportunity to support him and to see what it takes to be, you know, number one on the call sheet kind of in that way. And then with Tim on Justified to be in this position with on the Unicorn as Wade Felton, and to have the great Rob Corddry
oh, yeah.
and Michaela
love,
Watkins,
love.
And Omar Benson Miller and Maya Lynn Robinson, man, to have, and my daughters, these two
they're
one Ruby
adorable.
J
they're
and
McKenna,
to have my back is, you know, I'm a lucky man.
That's the sweetest part about that is I have girls too, and they're everything to me. And
yeah.
when you play Wade, you can tell that that's genuinely how you feel, and that's the crux of the show. If you miss that, the
yeah.
show's not
well,
that great.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I know exactly what you mean. And this is more close to who I am as a person than anything I've ever
not
been.
The Shield.
No, or Floyd Crowder. I mean, I'm a little Venus Van Dam.
See, I think you're a little hateful eight.
A little hateful eight. Lee Russell. You get some Lee Russell in there. It's a lot going on in my head, guys. No, but I have a you know, my wife and I have a son, and he just started Cub Scouts yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But he is the you know, without, it's hard to say without tearing up. Like you, he's the love of my life, and we get to explore that like on this show. And so, what was the hardest part for me really about doing this initially was I put the clothes on, and they're very similar to the clothes that I wear. And I started walking, and I walk like me, and I started talking, and I talk like me, and I got a lot of anxiety. You know, right like after those kind of first initial meetings, because I thought, well, I have nothing to hide behind. I don't think anyone's going to be interested in just me.
Doing a different character, you can totally hide
you
behind
can,
that.
You can.
Yeah,
you know?
The hair, the prosthetics, the teeth
right.
and stuff.
Or just like even like Boyd Crowder, you know, for me, you know, representing rural America is a big, you know, it means very important to me.
Yeah.
Shane Mandrell and The Shield and what that was saying about, you know, the pursuit of security in our country after 9/11. Like, all of these things really mean something to me. And Wade Felton means as much to me, if not more than any of them, because of where I am now as a father. But once I kind of got used to it, it's like, well, wait a minute. You know what? Don't worry about other people judging you. You're enough for you. And if you just come from your heart and you tell this story as honestly as you possibly can and honor the struggle that we all have, well, then let the chips fall where they may.
Is it difficult to get to that point? To where you just say, well, I am enough?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the great journey in life, isn't it? You know, it's for me, that transition really kind of happened. You know, I was lost in my 20s, like not in a really negative way, not like drugs or anything like that. It was just youth, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it took me to get to like 35 where that really landed for me. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Everything's okay. You're going to be okay.
I still feel like a fraud. 100% fraud.
Oh, look, they're clapping. A couple people are clapping.
Wow. Wait a minute.
They're in a golf tournament.
It's not a lot
it's
of people.
Very quiet.
It's a couple people.
It's just like two people.
That's just mattering.
I can only get applause from two people. Yeah.
I feel like this has been a journey with Walton.
Listen,
for the past few minutes.
It's never hard for a guy who, when he's failing, can just clog. You know what I mean?
He's always got a backup.
Just clog. Yeah. It's the end of the
story. Know what? It's so, you know what's cool about that?
They are still clapping.
They're still clapping.
I have no new dance moves.
Just clogs.
I mean, they're like 20 years old, my dance moves. But if I walk into a club and I start clogging,
stop clapping. For God's sake,
give it up.
Please.
Walton, we are out of time. Be careful with that whole pick
your mouth
thing.
Oh, my God,
I
want to move in with you guys.
I know.
You're allowed in. You're allowed in.
Hey, what a joy.
Come back
so
for everything, please.
Seriously, Righteous Gemstones just completed its first season, but you can see them all on demand on HBO. And The Unicorn, I'm telling you, we don't often recommend CBS comedies, but this is one that
I'll tell you this.
For reals, we don't. But this is one you guys will love.
And when you get into new shows, you're always nervous it's going away. This show just got a full season pickup yesterday.
Yes.
So it's here to stay.
Thursday night at 8:30 on CBS. Walton, you're the best, man.
The first cannabis cafe in the United States has opened, according to CNN, and it's right here in L.A.
Smoke weed every day.
1201 North La Brea Avenue. It's the Lowell Cafe. We'll be talking to the director of the restaurant coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on KROQ if you want to know all about it. May not be what you think it is.
Well, I mean, it's not too late to make some changes either, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of food, though, and restaurants, Jensen.
Yes.
I'm starving. What do you have for me?
It's the Fast Food Report.
KROQ 106.7 FM, through the magical wonderment of radio airwaves, brings you the Fast Food Report. With your dude with the lowdown on chain restaurant food, Jensen Karp.
Pooped my pants.
He'll get his hands dirty with grease and face covered in cheese. He's your direct line to delicacies and calories. He's Jensen Karp. Take it away, Gumshoe.
Oh, thanks, Omar. Hey, guys, I am so excited for this week because I feel that we have a large, unique list of fast food delicacies.
Excellent.
That are being introduced to these chains.
Okay.
And I want to know what you guys think about it. So I'm going to describe a new item at one of our favorite fast food restaurants, different ones all over the world. And you're going to tell me if you would eat it or beat it. Very easy.
All right.
Let's start with Sonic. It may be a bit of a white whale here in California to an extent, but those lucky enough to live near one, I have a surprise for you. It's called the Garlic Butter Bacon Burger.
Garlic butter bacon burger.
Sure, it's a tongue twister, but does it make your mouth water? The garlic butter bacon burger features 100% quarter pound beef patty, seared with garlic butter, and topped with grilled onions, American cheese, mayo, and bacon, all on a toasted bakery bun. And if that sounds too big, well, they have the garlic bacon burger junior.
No, do it or don't, people.
Well, it's just a smaller version.
Go big or go home.
Well, if the other one's huge, this one's very small. It's like the way that Vin Diesel is to Jeff Bezos. You know, they look very much similar, but their sizes are very different.
I would have gotten Whopper and Whopper Jr., but whatever. It's your segment.
Except you're going to pay $4.79 for the big version, $2.79 for the small boy, and these will be available only through November 3rd. So I ask you, garlic butter bacon burger, is it a bona fide banging buffet, or is it bad, baffling, bewildering buffoonery, or how I say it, eat or be, let's start coming?
I think I gotta eat that.
Eat it. Bean eater, beat it.
I hate to rub it in for folks who don't live near a Sonic because they're all over Louisiana.
Yeah, they're not a lot here.
Everywhere. That made my stomach hurt, even hearing the description of that. I'm going to pass. I'm going to beat it.
Okay. All right.
Interesting, because it made my stomach hurt because I want it so bad. Ooh. And I will drive to you, Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
I will drive to you and eat it.
All right. Sounds good to me. Every new item at Dunkin' causes quite a stir. Mm-hmm. It is almost like a viral machine. Anything they release, it's like a cult over there. People who dig their coffee can't even imagine getting it somewhere else. But I ask you about their food. More specifically, what about the croissant stuffer?
The croissant stuffer.
That's right. It's only available at specific locations in the South for now. But they're warm, crusty croissants stuffed with three different choices. Three cheese, chicken with bacon and cheese, or turkey and cheese.
Wow.
Okay. They're priced at $3.49 each, and let's just say they're hot pockets for rich people. So, croissant stuffers. Stuff me good or I never would eat or be a stumpy!
I don't eat anything that is warm and or crusty, so I'm gonna beat it.
Beat it.
What policy is that?
He's nothing warm.
He's putting his foot down. Let's go to Kevin.
Can I have three answers? Yes, yes, and yes. Eat it.
All right, fair enough. Allie, how are you feeling on the stuffed croissant?
I would like to try that.
All right, good one. All right, let's stay with Duncan. Halloween is approaching fast, and we know that restaurants and these chain places roll out spooky menus, you know? So the first seasonal item that caught my attention is the spider donut.
The spider donut.
I'm intrigued.
I am out.
Kevin tuned out.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it a black widow?
I am a beat it. I don't want it. I'm against it.
I'd like to hear you out,
I would
Jensen.
Also like to stop both of them from trying it as well.
Well, you place it on the back of your neck and you... No. Okay, here we go. This is not for arachnophobes. It's a ring donut and it's frosted with orange icing and topped with an eight-legged donut creature made from a glazed chocolate munchkin donut hole treat with chocolate drizzle for spider legs or white orange icing for the eyes. If you understood any of that, I assume you have diabetes, but I still have to ask. The spider donut. Spin me that web or I'll take the glazed instead. Commonly known as eater best eye.
What is happening? What did you say at the end there?
I said Allie.
Allie, okay.
I think you guys know my feelings about Dunkin's.
Mm-hmm.
The country runs on Dunkin'.
It does.
We know that.
It does. But again, food different. We think about coffee.
No.
Okay.
I'm eating it.
All right, the spider legs, everything, all in now. I'm going to wait for the man who has trauma. Let's start with Bean.
I enjoy all Halloween-related foods.
Yes.
I am 100%. I eat this.
All right, here it comes.
This is difficult because
PTSD.
Spider
mm-hmm.
is chocolate.
Yes, it truly is.
So what do I close my eyes and I eat it.
Okay. Eat it. Eat it blind
box. That's a good workaround.
Not to be outdone, Carvel is bringing the trick or treat, but mostly the treat, with their 31 Nights of Halloween Shake. That's right, 31 Nights of Halloween Shake. It is a quote-unquote slime shake, okay?
Okay?
And it features cookies and cream-flavored ice cream.
Yum.
Also with vanilla soft serve blended into Oreo cookies. It also has edible slime topped with whipped cream. Now, you might ask, what's edible slime?
What's edible slime?
That's a good question, because I researched for 30 minutes online and still couldn't find an answer.
What?
Your guess is as good as mine, but as one man said on Reddit, it better not be ghost sperm.
Yes, I'm very concerned by the name edible slime.
That's valid.
I did find that as just someone just saying, I can't eat it. Let's hope it's not ghost sperm. The new slime shake will be available at participating locations October 1st through October 31st, making it a true Halloween release. So I ask you, and I got to remind you, there's an ingredient in this I can't actually pin down, okay? So 31 nights of Halloween slime shake. Let the ghoul loose or avoid the ghost juice, or in layman's terms, eat or be a scorpion.
First of all, I trust Carvel. They're a wonderful chain.
Okay.
And as I previously stated, I'm all in on Halloween foods. I'm going every day of October to eat.
Ooh, all 31 days. Kevin,
I'm going to try them all.
What are you feeling?
I'm feeling the same.
All right. Allie?
I have been pressured to eat ghost slime many times in my life.
Right.
And quite frankly, no.
Okay, no.
Add enough.
Okay.
Filled up.
All right.
All
done. This one's a little different. This is, we're all big Del Taco fans here at Kevin and Bean. And for good reason. They take chances.
Sure.
Right? They're like the Shia LaBeouf of fast food. Major risks for major rewards. Okay. So when I heard they were entering the fragrance industry.
Oh. Fragrance?
I was all nose. Delta, as I always say it mostly, Del Taco has released an aromatherapy set of essential oils with scents to promote their new mini churro dipper shake. So the three smells are chocolate, vanilla, and cinnamon churro. The entire kit will run you $1.49 plus shipping and handling, which is cheap. But I'm disappointed there's no way to make your house smell like the deep fryer. But imagine yourself on a relaxing night, right? you had a long day at work, you draw a bath, put on some moody music, and then your whole house smells like Del Taco churros. So, with this scent idea, I ask you, are you willing to sniff or feeling the whiff, spray it or nay it? Let's start with Kevin.
I think it would make me want to leave the house and go out and get it, so I'm not going to eat that.
It's spray it or nay it.
I'm not going to spray it.
Spray it
so
or nay it.
So you're going to...
Nay.
Nay it.
Thank you.
That was a journey.
Wow. Okay. Bean, spray it or nay it?
That was terrible. I'm going to be constructive here. You should kill yourself.
Nay it.
Allie, spray it or nay it?
I love an essential oil. Mm-hmm. I have an essential oil diffuser in my living room, bedroom, and bathroom.
Don't need the whole history of your...
You have a floor plan I could see of your place?
I'd like to spray it.
Spray it.
All right. Now, Muggs.
I'm worried about the further use that the spray it drop will get.
That's kind of why I picked it. Muggs, how early do you usually eat fast food?
There is no time. Any time of day is perfect.
All right. I've seen you snacking on cheeseburgers or leftover tacos as early as 7 a.m. So this new addition to the Whataburger menu is just for you. May I introduce you to the limited time breakfast burger? Okay. It features a beef patty, creamy pepper sauce, two slices of bacon, a freshly cracked egg, three crispy hash browns on top of the patty, and American cheese, all sandwiched between a 4-inch bun.
Oh.
It's basically taller than Brad Williams. Priced at $3.99 on its own or $5.99 part of a meal, the new breakfast burger is available at participating locations during breakfast hours from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. So it's whether you're just waking up or treating your cataracts medically at night. This one's for either of you. And the early birds, so I have to ask, do you arrive to get the worm or avoid the butthole burn, or in simple terms, eat or be a guy?
Again, I think that was for me.
That was for you.
Okay. I was out at Creamy Pepper Sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I just, no,
not
thank
the first
you.
Time I've heard that. Kevin.
Hold the bacon, I'm in.
What is wrong with you?
They eat it, that's fine.
Okay.
Bean?
Remember, Kevin doesn't like bacon enough for us.
He thinks it's okay.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm going to, I hate to screw up the rules here. I'm going to go ahead and buy one, but I'm going to give it to Beer Mug because I know how happy it's going to make me.
Oh, that's nice.
Beat it.
And then beat it. That was the fast food report.
Signing off for KROQ 106.7 FM. That was the fast food report with Jensen.
About 90% of the who's the dick stories involve Bean.
Mm-hmm.
10% involve me.
Mm-hmm.
This is Allie.
Thank you.
First one ever?
Yeah. Who's the dick? It's probably Allie.
Oh.
What?
Okay. Here's the thing. I tweeted this last week. I say this as a dog person with all love. Your dog doesn't need to go with you to restaurants, hair appointments, shopping at the Grove. Trust me, your dog needs a break from you. XO. And there's a reason I tweeted that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because I saw a dog, you know, shopping at Nordstrom at the Grove, and I had to step over it. It wasn't because I saw your dog at a hair appointment running through people that were trying to have a relaxing time on their own.
Yeah.
It wasn't because I saw your dog at a restaurant. It wasn't because I saw your dog at a grocery store. All places that your dog does not need to be. It's because I saw a dog at a medical facility.
What?
Medical facility where everyone in that waiting room is freaking out because they're going in for extra testing.
Which
is the worst.
Yeah.
Just as like a lab.
Ish.
Okay.
I don't want to get into...
No, but I'm just trying to set the stage. Yeah.
It's a place that should not have dogs.
Correct.
Because people's immune systems are knocked down.
Yes.
So if you have any kind of allergies, you're effed, whatever.
Okay, question.
Yes.
Is the dog a doctor?
Oh, dang it. I didn't even think about it.
Is the dog a doctor?
He wasn't wearing like a coat.
Okay, all
they
right.
They don't always wear a coat.
Oh, that's true. They have to come in, you know, in something.
Yeah, he could have just been a specialist or something.
That's a good point.
Not where to go. Okay, so we'll assume for the purposes of your scenario that the dog is not a doctor. The dog is just there accompanying a patient.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So a woman walks in with a dog, and you can tell right away, that's not a service dog.
Not trained.
And it's not even a dog that you bought the service dog vest for because you're an a-hole that feels entitled to bring your dog everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It is somebody that was just bringing their dog in. And the woman at the desk said, ma'am, I'm sorry, we can't have dogs in here. And she said, excuse me?
And she said, we can't have dogs in here. It's just, we can't allow dogs. People might have allergies. It's just not a place for a dog.
Well, it's, I mean, just sorry to cut you off, but I mean, it's not even really safe.
No, 100%
not safe. These Petri dishes, et cetera, things shouldn't even be within 50 feet of an animal.
Shouldn't have dog hair flopping around.
Okay.
Again, I say this as a dog person.
Yeah, you are a dog person, yeah.
Then the woman starts getting really rude to the woman at the desk. And what am I supposed to do?
Leave your dog at home?
And the woman said, well, you can reschedule your appointment if this is a problem. And she's like, this is a problem. And now everybody is just focused on this woman. And people are not going back to their appointments because now two people from the back have walked out to help the woman at the desk deal with this woman.
Mm.
So the woman's like, oh, this is ridiculous. I've never had a problem bringing my dog anywhere. And da-da-da. And then she says this. She goes, well, what am I supposed to do with my dog? I can't leave him in the car. Do you know how hot it is? So I speak up.
Oh, yes.
Uh-oh. Allie gets involved.
Uh-oh. And I say, with the most sarcastic, bitchy voice.
Because you're so pissed at this point.
I went, oh, my God, ma'am. I'm so sorry. You live in your car? Thank you. To which she goes, I live in Brentwood. And I said, oh, because you made it seem like you'd have to leave your dog in the car that you didn't have a home to leave your dog at instead of coming in here and wasting all of our time.
You said this to the lady. You didn't think this in your head. You actually said this out loud.
We can talk to the woman behind the desk who afterwards said, whenever you need an appointment and we don't have something, I'm moving you up to the front. Everybody in that room looked at me. Their eyes were huge like saucers. And the woman's like, well, no, it's just, it's so hot out. Usually if it's not this hot out, and I just didn't want to leave my dog at home. And in my head, I'm thinking, you Brentwood C word.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But I didn't say that.
You should have.
Because my appointment was in Beverly Hills. But still, I was like, you are just a repulsive woman. What are you doing? She finally left in a huff and said she's never coming back there.
Great. Right.
And everybody was thrilled. But, you're a dick for bringing your dog with you everywhere because
well, we'll rule who the dick is here.
Right, doesn't want to be
job.
With you. Your
please,
dog
needs
a break.
Now tainting the jury.
Yeah.
Question about, just a follow-up, size of dog, please.
Actually, a medium-sized dog. It wasn't like a golden retriever, but it wasn't a yapper either.
I'm going to say you're irrelevant.
Didn't
ask you.
Like a bigger terrier?
14 pounds.
I think Allie would have accepted a golden retriever.
I totally would have. That would have been my perfect dog.
And she never brought up a medical need for this dog?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Was the dog cute?
Yeah, dog was very cute.
Oh,
good follow-up.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. But I felt very bad for the dog because I know that this dog has to go everywhere with this woman, and dogs shouldn't go everywhere with their owners. You know what's great? When you get home and your dog is so pumped to see you, can't wait to give you all the kisses and hugs.
Right. Did you look at the dog in the eyes and see that it was dead behind the eyes?
It looked so sad. It literally was like, please, ma'am, maybe I can stay out here with you. And I'm like, no, doggy, you got to go home with that.
And then the dog was like, can you take me home to your house?
Yeah, I felt it all.
I've heard enough. I'd like to be the first judge to say, let's end testimony. I am willing to rule that Allie was not the dick.
Okay.
The lady who brought the dog to the clinic was today.
Thank you.
That is my ruling.
Yeah, I will agree with that judgment. I think that Judge Bean did a great job explaining. I also want to say that I think that even in cases where you have like a helper dog or something, don't bring them to a hospital or any sort of a medical place.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
Unless you're blind.
Well, that we have to deal with.
I'm going to say not only is Allie not the dick, she's a hero.
Oh.
Kevin.
Allie 2020?
She's a hero. Allie 2020.
That's what we're saying.